Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Caroline Fenton, D-Maze hanging out. We are at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena ahead of the Predators matchup with the Detroit Red Wings. D-Maze, how we doing?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. These darn flurries need to stop. What is wrong with this place?
It is freezing outside.
Good Lord.
Give me spring. But it is nice to have the Predators back home. It feels like it's been ages.
Yes.
So means to have the since we have had the Predators.
They were on spring
in Nashville.
Break.
Yeah, exactly. Just West Coast spring break.
Exactly.
But I want to start here because it has been an absolute free agency frenzy just in the first day of the legal tampering period yesterday. As soon as 11 o'clock hit, it was like the floodgates opened and it was deal after deal after deal. And that's not going to slow down anytime soon, at least across the league. Now, I think we can all predict from what we've seen, the moves the Titans made yesterday and what we kind of feel like is going to be the temperature for the Titans in free agency. It's probably not going to speed up anytime soon for the Tennessee Titans, but there are several moves that have left to be made in the NFL. But the Titans did make one move yesterday. And honestly, when we had made it through the first few hours of the legal tampering period, we hadn't heard much about the Tennessee Titans. I really wasn't surprised. I was surprised to see the Titans make a move yesterday. And that was signing Andre Dillard, a left tackle from the Philadelphia Eagles, to a deal that's worth 3 years, $29 million. I have a bunch of thoughts. What was your initial reaction to the Andre Dillard signing?
Why? I mean, it wasn't, you know, let me rephrase that. Not why, I guess. It was, okay. It was one of those, like, you probably could have re-signed, I don't know, Nate Davis for that money. It wasn't neither. It was one of those situations where you look at it and you'd be like, okay, and go about your business, you know. I dug deeper into it as far as, because I didn't know anything about Andre Dillard at all. You know, I thought he was a, you know, a guy that had been in the league, you know, 7, 8, 9 years. Then you go back and you look at it. He was a former first round draft pick of the Eagles, 22nd overall. He played some early, wasn't good enough, I guess, early on. And ultimately, you know, he had an injury in 20, didn't play. And then he got his spot taken, or he had to compete and end up losing it. So we don't know if this guy can play or if he can't. Is he a starter in his league, or is he a backup, or is he just a, you know, a stopgap for the next tackle that they may possibly draft, or they can swing him over to right and, you know, move Nicholas down to guard. They could possibly do that. So, but coming out of Washington State, there was some, you know, some good about him. He did really well in the combine, which rose his stock up some. You know, the summary on him is very athletic, really good pass blocker, had to work a lot on his run block because they didn't run block much in college. He was at a pass-happy team.
He was there with Leach, no?
Absolutely, yeah. So he was doing a lot of pass set.
Right.
So the knock on him, the cons were he wasn't as good a run blocker. Well, it showed up big time. If you look at his grade each and every year, and I went to PFF, Pro Football Focus, each year, the more he played, the worse his grade was. In particular, he never got better at run blocking. Titans are a run blocking team. Now, pass blocking, he was pretty good.
Yeah.
But run blocking, he wasn't. Now, again, he could get better over time. Titans can bring him here, coach him up, and he could be fine. But I'm just looking at the numbers based on, you know, the last 4 years, taking away the 20 because he didn't play. He's not a good run blocker. he's a above average pass blocker. But, you know, he could be better this upcoming season. We never know.
And that was exactly my first thought was the numbers. Uh-huh. And it's his numbers and the Titans' numbers. His numbers being he's been in the league for 4 years. He was a first-round draft pick in 2019, and he has 9 starts under his belt. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is a red flag.
Yes.
That you are a first-round pick, and your first year in the league, you started in 4 games. Red flag. Mm-hmm. Out the entire 2020 season with a torn bicep. Yeah. And then comes back in 2021. He loses the starting job. He had 5 starts in 2021 and 0 in 2022. That's a red flag to me. So that's his numbers. And then as far as the Titans' numbers are concerned, 3 years, $29 million seems like a pretty steep deal for a player that only has 9 starts throughout his 4-year career. And really, I guess it wouldn't be fair to say 4 years because he was out for a season, but still being injured for an entire season is still part of the story. So I thought 3 years, $29 million, like that's a pretty rich deal for a guy that doesn't have a very proven track record. Now, that is the number that I can only assume was put out there by the agent.
Uh-huh.
That's what you have to be really cognizant of as all of these rumors really and reports come out from the Rappaports and the Schefters. Those numbers are coming directly from the agent. The agent is going to beef up the numbers a little bit to make it look like their client got a better deal. Mm-hmm. So the real numbers might not be 3 years, $29 million.
I would dare to say the real numbers is really a one-year deal.
With incentives and
incentives,
fake
he's
years.
Probably guaranteed around $8 million guaranteed. Essentially is a 1-year deal, and if things doesn't work out, they can move on. So it's that's why I said it's one of those deals, Caroline, where it's like, okay, you know, it's not they didn't make their team better, but they didn't make their team worse. It was just okay, you see how you sign them, you go into camp, let them compete, and you see how it goes. If he turns out to be all of the if he turns out to be the first rounder that Philly thought he was, then it's great for Rand Carthon. He got a bargain at left tackle. If it doesn't, then, hey, listen, you rolled the dice and it didn't work. But you're not on the hook for him for the 3 years. You're on the hook for him for a year and probably about – I would be surprised if it's more than $8 million guaranteed.
That's what I think, too. Yeah. Like, I don't think there's any way the Titans would have signed on for 3 years, $29 million. There has to be some adjusting there and some real numbers there. But, yeah, I mean, it's the potential, at least. The Philadelphia Eagles saw the potential in Andre Dillard, or else they wouldn't have drafted him in the first round. And, look, when I saw this news, I haven't watched enough Philadelphia Eagles football over the last 4 years. I am not an offensive line enthusiast. That's what I defer to you for, D-Mace. That's what I defer to TD for as well. I mean, TD is as good of an expert in this city about the Philadelphia Eagles as anybody else. So I turned to TD, who was on Stillman & Company yesterday, and kind of broke down why Andre Dillard hasn't gotten probably the work that you would expect from a first-round pick. This was TD yesterday.
Deal reported 3 years, $29 million by Mike Garofolo.
I think that's great value to get a guy that could come in and be your starting left tackle. One thing you have to remember, this guy entering 2021, he was projected to be the starting tackle, but he got beaten out by Jordan Mailata. He was Jeff Stoutland's personal project. So this was bound to happen. I'm talking about one-on-one work over a 3-year process, right? So Mailata beat him out and he signed a huge deal with the Eagles last year. So that's really what happened there. I think when you look at Dillard, the one thing that I do want to kind of bring to light, the run blocking. I'm not like, from what I've been told, he doesn't have as much as like that killer instinct in him. Now, I don't know the man. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what I've been told. So that's something to look out for. But, I mean, you're getting a first-round talent. He was the number 22 pick. You know, in 2019. So you're getting a first-round talent.
Okay, so TD kind of breaks down why he didn't get that work. He mentions Jeff Stoutland. That's the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line coach. Mm-hmm. And he brought in Jordan Mailata, and he just absolutely loved him. So that was kind of made sense that the offensive line coach brings in this guy that he believes in Jordan Mailata. And, of course, on the right side, Philadelphia has been set at the right tackle position. So there just wasn't really a place for Andre Dillard on the offensive line. But they kind of held out on the first round pick to see if there was a spot for him, ultimately let him go, because there's not a spot for him on the offensive line. To that, I think, you know, if you really think that a guy is special, if you really see something in a guy, mm-hmm. you're going to find a place to put him. But maybe, I mean, look at the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line. It was so stacked. Mm-hmm. So maybe there really truly wasn't a place for Andre Dillard. But I think that what the Titans need for Andre from Andre Dillard is really just, can you fill in wherever we need you?
Yeah, because you got to replace this whole offensive line.
Yeah.
And, you know, why not have a guy that has had some snaps? He's a former first rounder. He has played some snaps. You know, so he's a veteran guy in a sense. Why not bring him on and see what he can do? Again, I think it's just a one-year deal. It says it's a three, but I'm sure they can get out of it after the first year.
And if they want to hang on after 1 year, they can.
They can. And you would be getting him at a bargain. I looked at his numbers. In 19, he played – well, 21, he played the most snaps. 19, he played close to it. He had 337 snaps. His overall grade was below – it was basically failing, mm-hmm. his overall grade. Again – run blocking, he struggled his first year. Pass blocking, he struggled his first year. 20, he missed. Now, this is what I think we can sort of look at and be, in a sense, optimistic moving forward. After the injury in 20 and 21, he had 340 snaps. He got better as a pass blocker. He graded out at 71%. He got a tad bit better as a run blocker. It's still a failing grade, but he got better. In 22, he went from 340 snaps in 21 to 22. He only had 37 snaps. I mean, he got better based upon the grade, but the number of snaps was significantly lower. Mm-hmm. He had 37 snaps as a tackle. He overall graded at 67, but his pass blocking was a B+. His run blocking still failing. Well, I guess it's a D. So he got better run blocking, but it's still not to a point where you can definitively say this is our left tackle moving forward. Now you hope he gets better.
Yeah.
With you know, the new offensive line coach and the system that the Titans run, you hope that he get better, but you got to be conscious and aware that this guy was never a good run blocking tackle. And you are a team that loves to run the football a lot. So you got to keep that in mind.
Absolutely. And also, a move today from the Tennessee Titans. They signed linebacker Luke Gifford from the Dallas Cowboys. A 2-year deal, $5 million. You know, not
special
a long
teams
term.
Guy.
He's a special teams guy. Yeah, I don't think that that's going to be any sort of, you know, groundbreaking, earth shaking kind of move. But Mike Vrabel does love him, some special teams guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is not to go without mentioning as well. 615-737-1025. We are up and rolling. We will get your phone calls, your texts, your thoughts on the Titans moves in free agency and free agency moves around the league as well. But coming up next, if the Titans really wanted to, they would have. And we'll explain coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
So you're saying the reason why he only has 9 career starts is not because he's not a good player, but he has 9 career starts because there was just nowhere for him to play.
There was nowhere, because guess who was on the right side?
Lane Johnson.
Right, the best right tackle in football. You know what I mean? So you definitely weren't playing right tackle. So he got beaten out by Mailata, and then he was kind of like a swing guy, but he also had injuries too. He was on IR actually this past year, you know, but he was someone that the Eagles valued. They just couldn't. You can't have a $29 million swing guy. So they couldn't keep him there.
There you go. That was Teron Davenport on Stillman & Company yesterday. D-Mace, are you familiar with the phrase, if he wanted to, he would?
Yes, I am.
So it's kind of like what women in my generation or teenage girls will say about their boyfriends or guys that they think are cute. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, oh, if he wanted to buy you flowers, he would. If he wanted to take you out to a really nice dinner, he would. If he wanted to pursue you, then he would.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel about the Titans and two free agents who they decided to not re-sign yesterday.
Ooh.
If they wanted to re-sign Nate Davis, they would have. Nate Davis signed with Chicago yesterday, a three-year deal worth $30 million. 19.25 of that is guaranteed. No, we don't know the real numbers on Andre Dillard's contract, but Nate Davis, 3 years, $30 million. They signed Andre Dillard to 3 years, $29 million. They could have re-signed Nate Davis with that Andre Dillard money if they wanted to.
Yeah, they could have. And I'm you know, I would be surprised if the guarantee is anything close to what Nate Davis got from the Chicago Bears.
I would agree.
I would be surprised. Yeah. Not to say that it can't happen, but I would be surprised. Yes, if they wanted Nate Davis back, they could have under that sort of – they probably could have got him for a little bit less.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it was – I think everyone understood that Nate Davis probably wasn't a Vrabel guy.
I didn't expect
exactly.
him to be back.
But the one that I'm surprised is David Long Jr. Yes, he had some issues with injuries, but a lot of guys did on that team. And he is a guy, to me, that you could have signed him for a two-year deal or a three-year deal and, you know, kept him here. And because when he's on the field, he's your best linebacker.
He's a difference maker.
He's a difference maker. When he's on the field, and he's on the field more times than not, but when he's on the field, he's a difference maker for you. He's the one guy that can go sideline to sideline. He's the one guy that doesn't have to come off the field on third down. He is a three-down linebacker, and you chose not to keep him. Now, hey, I get it. You know, you're clearing space for a lot of other things moving down, you know, for the future. But I think he's one of those guys. Again, you drafted him, but you didn't re-sign them. Mm-hmm. This is a pattern that the Titans have. They draft these guys, and they don't find a way to re-sign them. They let them get out the door. You can't build an organization like that. You can't. You got to be able to retain the guys and develop the guys that you draft. Because ultimately, you're going to keep on doing this over and over and over again. And you want to be able – to me, that's a sign of a really good organization and coaching staff, that they develop these guys to a point where they can then re-sign them. Now, I understand sometimes it doesn't happen. But when you have a guy like a David Long Jr. that goes out to get a contract that you could have given him, to me that's like you developed this guy. You saw him grow. And you felt you didn't need him?
It's a sixth round pick.
Exactly.
Now
like,
a huge difference maker for your defense.
I don't get it.
Maybe huge difference maker isn't fair. A difference maker.
He's
for
a different. He's a difference maker on that team.
Yeah.
It was when he wasn't in the game, when he was injured, you knew he was injured.
Yeah.
Because you didn't get the. Yes, Dylan Cole played great, but played pretty good. In his,
he was fine.
And these other linebackers that came in.
Role
yes,
players.
Absolutely. But they're not David Long Jr.
Right. And I would agree. I mean, that's my football philosophy. In the pros, you build via the draft, you supplement via free agency. Same thing in college. You build through recruiting, and you supplement via the transfer portal. And the Titans not retaining their draft picks, whether that's a first-round draft pick in Jack Conklin or Corey Davis, or whether that's a six-round draft pick in David Long Jr., it makes it significantly difficult to continue to add depth to your football team whenever you're not retaining your draft picks. But to your point about Nate Davis, I think you're right. I think we all kind of expected Nate Davis to be on the out, and it wasn't about the money. It was more so, I don't think that he was a Vrabel guy. And I go back to Jim Wyatt put out in his mailbag about a month or so ago on TennesseeTitans.com that he didn't expect Nate Davis to be back.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jim Wyatt says it on TennesseeTitans.com, like I think that speaks volumes.
Yes.
But about David Long Jr., if they wanted, I mean, David Long's deal in Miami, 2 years, $11 million. I mean, that would have been so doable for the Titans. That's easy. That would have been easy for the Titans to re-sign David Long if they wanted to. And I think David Long is a Vrabel guy. He has that kind of attitude. But I think that might be a message or maybe an indication from Mike Vrabel that he's just not doing the injured players anymore. Like, he called out David Long at the end of this past season and said, you know, our players who have been experiencing soft tissue injuries, like David Long Jr. has been experiencing this past season, I mean, that's really what hurt our football team. So I think that the lack of availability for David Long over the last 2 years. You know, he played in 12 games in 2021. He only played in 10 this past season. I think Vrabel's looking at it like, if you can't be available for this football team, we can't retain you. And it doesn't matter how small of a contract we can sign you to. It doesn't matter how big of an impact you could make on this team when you are available. If you aren't consistently available, there's not a spot for you on this team. Like Robert Woods was the reason why he was released. Taylor Lewan, the reason that he was released. Bud Dupree, why he's going to be released, because they just weren't available and weren't consistent.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
And I don't blame him.
I understand it. But again, it goes, this guy, since he got drafted by the Tennessee Titans, each and every year he's gotten better. You've actually developed him into a really good linebacker. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did miss some games. Yes, he played 13 games, somewhere around there. Yes, and he missed four. But when he's on the field for you, which is 90% of the time, 85, 90%, somewhere around there, when he's on the field for you, he's a playmaker. He's a difference maker. Mm-hmm. How do you now replace that? You know, do you keep some of the guys that are free agents? Do you sign guys back that were free agents for you? I don't know. But you're going to have to replace the production that he gave you. Again, I get it. You're sort of going down this road. I'm not dealing with injured players.
Yeah.
Well, hell, you signed an injured player. He was injured 2 years ago.
That's another thing.
Yeah, so you signed an injured player.
Out of the season.
So you said you're not dealing with injured players. In a sense, that's why you probably more than likely allowed David Long Jr. to sign a contract somewhere else. But if that is indeed the case, which I don't know, but if that is indeed the case, then this roster will have a lot of turnover come next season.
And I honestly,
after the next season.
I was shocked that the Titans didn't re-sign David Long Jr.
At least try.
Especially at that number.
Yeah, at least try to re-sign him.
And it would tell me that they didn't try to re-sign him because 2 years, $11 million. I mean, like, that's so doable. And I don't want to say that they didn't try because I don't know that for certain. But these numbers, I mean, that's very doable.
You would think it is.
At least I'd think.
You know, but again.
When he just signed a tackle with 9 career starts to a 3-year $29 million deal. Of course, we don't know the full numbers.
Exactly. But I mean, you know, we can. Our assumption is because it happened so fast, they didn't even try to re-sign him. They didn't throw a number out there for him. And if that is indeed the case, then, you know, to me, it's shame on them because you drafted the guy. You've watched him develop into a really good player, but you decide to let him go sign with someone else without even offering him a contract. That's, again, assuming they did. Now, if it comes out and they did and he chose not to take it, then, okay, I understand, you know. But right now as we sit, it doesn't seem as if you offered a contract to David Long Jr., a guy that has gotten better each and every year he's been here.
And it seems like the way that Mike Vrabel is looking to construct this team, the way that they're navigating free agency, at least with their own players who are free agents, is that your best ability is your availability.
Yeah.
And if you're not available for us, we can't continue our relationship. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your phones on that. Plus, we've seen a ton of movement with quarterbacks in free agency. We've seen a ton of movement with offensive linemen, pass rushers in free agency. But there's one position group that we've seen very little movement from, and I want to know why. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. 1025 The Game at Jasper's, located at 1918 West End Avenue, this Thursday for the first day of tournament games. While you're there, take advantage of the shot and a beer special. That's a shot of Nelson's Green Bar Tennessee Whiskey, plus a bottled domestic beer for just $10. Jasper's, oversized bar, TVs, and game room make them the place to catch all of the games. So, I mean, there's been absolute madness in NFL free agency just in the last 24 hours of the legal tampering period. And technically, free agency hasn't even really started until tomorrow. But we've seen a ton of movement on the quarterback carousel. We've seen a ton of movement with defensive linemen, edge rushers. We've seen some running backs go here and there. We haven't seen a ton of movement with the wide receivers. correct me if I'm wrong, because I've been trying to keep up with all the free agency, and I have this mental map of where everyone is going and who's accumulating who, who's going where, who's signing to what. I think the only wide receiver movement that we've had so far is Robert Woods signing that two-year deal with the Texans. And then also, this just coming out about an hour or so ago, Jacoby Myers just got signed with the Raiders. So from New England to the Raiders, which makes sense. He was with Josh McDaniels for 3 years in New England. He just signed a three-year deal with the Raiders. That's only two wide receivers that have made moves. We've heard some grumblings about the Jets and Alan Lazard, perhaps the Jets and Randall Cobb, which is really interesting that the Jets are going after two former wide receivers from the Green Bay Packers, which is funny how that works. Why do you think there hasn't been as much movement with this wide receiver, with the wide receiver free agents so far? I know we're only a day in, but there's been so much movement and not a lot with the receivers.
Yeah, there hasn't. And I don't know what that, why that may be the case or what's the attributing factor to it. Maybe there's not a lot of big name wide receivers that are actually free agents. Now, there are some wide receivers that could end up being traded. DeAndre Hopkins is one of those guys that can potentially be traded from Arizona to someone else, another team. So you got guys that are not free agents, but I think after the draft, either the day of the draft or subsequently right after the draft, you might see some trades of some big name wide receivers.
Right.
I think right now the league doesn't want to overpay for mediocre wide receivers that are on the free agent market.
Mediocre or old or both?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
You know, because it in this market, you know, the going rate for a wide receiver, if you're a mediocre, okay wide receiver, is going to be, you know, if you're basing it on last season, it's going to be $10 million plus.
Yeah.
And that's for a guy that maybe had 700-800 yards last year, a few touchdowns. So I think the NFL or teams are starting to see, hey, listen, we're not going to continue to go down this path of overpaying guys to catch the football, because what they're seeing now is more and more guys are coming out of college ready to play because of the system in college that gets them ready to play in the NFL, because a lot of what you see in college as far as offenses translate to the NFL. So teams rather draft a guy, develop a guy, have him for 3 or 4 years, not having to pay him a lot, and then ultimately once he's proven he can play, then decide whether they're going to keep him or not. But going out and overpaying for someone else's wide receiver, I think unless you are top tier guy, then I don't think NFL GMs are doing it anymore. At least not this year.
And especially in this receiver market, where the amount of money that's expected for wide receivers, even just average wide receivers, has absolutely, you know, kaboomed over the last couple of years. And, you know, how good is this free agency wide receiver class? Adam Thielen, Robbie Anderson, Nelson Aguilar, DJ Chark, Randall Cobb, Julio, Alan Lazard, Juju, Jarvis Landry. Like, that's a group of receivers that might maybe had really solid years 3, 4, 5 years ago, or just frankly just aren't very good.
None of those guys are, I mean, Alan
Nobody
Lazard.
Sticks out to me.
Alan Lazard is a guy that has potential of getting better. He's a young receiver. He has the potential to get better. These other guys, I think they are role players. They are guys that you can, that may be productive for you, but you're not going to pay, you know, top dollar to get them. You will pay market value, a little bit below market value, for a guy like a Juju Smith-Schuster, who's at best really a number two wide receiver.
Maybe
he can still, he can still catch the ball, make a few plays here and there, but I'm not paying him $10, $12, $14 million to catch 3 or 4 passes per game. I'm not doing that. If I'm paying you that much money, you need to be an impact player.
And it's the combination of players who are either young or have plenty of years left in their career, but just frankly aren't very good. I mean, like a DJ Chark, I think he's a fine wide receiver too.
Yes.
That's probably going to make close to wide receiver one money, or once wide receiver one money, or players that are old or maybe not don't have a ton of years or a ton of tread left on the tires. But this is where the Titans come in, because the Titans probably need two more wide receivers, wide receiver two, wide receiver three, depending on what they do with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. I think they'll probably re-sign Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. But however you look at it, the Titans are going to need at least another wide receiver for the 23 season. They absolutely can find one in this year's draft. But also, I mean, are they going to want to bring in a veteran receiver to pair next to Treylon Burks and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine? I don't think it would hurt.
It will hurt either.
Is there one available? At least in this free agency class. Things can change after June 1st cuts, or you can trade for one.
They're going to have to get a veteran guy. And we talked with TD about that yesterday. And I asked, specifically asked him, well, do you believe they're bringing another veteran wide receiver? And he said, yes, they will.
Yeah.
But when they do it, we don't know. It could be before the draft. It could be after the draft. Depending on who they choose to pick a receiver in the first three or four rounds. But I think ultimately this team will go out and get a veteran guy. But it's going to be a veteran guy that hasn't dealt with injury, a veteran guy that can play both inside and outside and possibly give you something on the special teams end. But they got to get someone that can come in here and continue to help Treylon Burks along, to where Treylon doesn't feel he's the end-all, be-all. Like, the offense, the passing game revolves solely around him. They need more pass catchers. They got, they got a tight end in Chigakonkwo, but they need more guys on the outside that's going to help Treylon Burks.
Let's get to some of your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. SL in Knoxville texts in, says, isn't Vrabel just living in the past a la the Patriot way? No second contracts, stockpiling comp picks, paying on the cheap, and coaching everyone just to do your job. It works better with a GOAT quarterback in Belichick. Titans don't have any compensatory picks this year. I don't think they're stockpiling compensatory picks. But there is a good bit of truth to the trend of this organization not signing players that they draft to second contracts, or maybe just bringing in guys on the cheap. Now, this year, that's what we expected from the Titans, is just not to spend a whole lot of money. Not to necessarily go on the cheap, but just to not spend a whole lot of money in free agency. But that's the thing with the quote-unquote Patriot way. It's successful when Tom Brady is your quarterback and Bill Belichick is your head coach. When you don't have that quarterback and you don't have the Patriot way rings, you don't have the Patriot rings, the Patriot way doesn't work out very well.
The Patriot way don't work when you don't have Tom Brady. And I don't think Vrabel is, yes, he played in New England, but he also played in Pittsburgh. He also played in Kansas City. So I don't think he's like this, it's the Patriot way or no way.
Yeah.
I think he, he looks at it from the standpoint of, okay, if we can sign you, if they don't feel that they can sign a guy for the money they want to sign him for, then they're going to let him walk. It seems like it's either boom or nothing with the Titans in regards to signing. They're either going to make a big splash with their own free agents, or they're not going to re-sign them at all. Whether it's Derrick Henry, whether it's redoing Ryan Tannehill's deal, Kevin Byard, Jeffrey Simmons, hopefully. Who else did they keep that they drafted and they signed them to a big contract? If I'm missing anyone else, please let me know, people. But beside that, I can't really point to a guy on their roster that they've signed in the last 5 years, 6 years, that they drafted and they re-upped them on a big contract. It was either a big contract or it was nothing.
It will be Simmons.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you got Derrick Henry.
Jeffrey Simmons.
Potentially Jeffrey Simmons, Kevin Byard, and who else? Taylor Lewan. But Taylor wasn't a Mike Vrabel guy. He was here before Vrabel got here, a year before Vrabel got here. But they did re-sign him.
They
so
did
you
re-sign
can
him.
Say Taylor Lewan. So that's four guys. And if there's someone else, please let me know.
And I think the important thing to remember, too, and I have to remind myself of this, and I'll have to remind all of our callers, texters, listeners to this as well. Any gripes that you may have with the way that the Titans have conducted business over the last 4 to 5 years, there's somebody new in the building.
Exactly.
There's somebody new drafting. There's somebody new who's navigating free agency. Somebody new that's negotiating contracts. So we can't put we can probably expect some of those things to change. Mm-hmm. Now, with Mike Vrabel, I don't know, because John Robinson was a Patriot guy. I'm sure liked to conduct things the Patriot way. Mm-hmm. Mike Vrabel, Patriot guy, likes to conduct things and do business in the Patriot way. So, but still, like, let's remember that there's somebody new in the building as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get your thoughts on that, plus some of the movement on the quarterback carousel. Does any of that affect Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Ville-DeMace, 1025-1063 The Game. Hey, Preds fans, don't miss tomorrow night's Smashville Live show at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs starting at 6 o'clock. See your Predator star players up close and personal, plus get autographs and pictures. Preds player guests tomorrow night will be Luke Evangelista and Kiefer Sherwood. Smashville Live is brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, Superbook Sports, and Dulce Vita Tequila Pure and Simple. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us in just about 10 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on free agency around the NFL, what the Titans' plans are. And I said we were going to touch on some of the quarterback carousel, and I want to get into all of that. We'll get into that with Tim as well. But this is just coming in. One of the texters in the text line, phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, sent us this tweet from David Long. It says, "You would," and also, well, welcome back, Willie.
Great
it's
to
been a
see
long
you guys.
Time.
Yes.
Welcome
it has
back,
been a while.
Willie.
Do I look like I've aged? I feel like I've aged.
Not a day.
I'm still looking good?
Not
okay,
a day.
Okay.
Yes.
Not a day over a 13-day long road trip.
It has been a while. We have been all over the place, but it is great to be home.
Good to have you back. Yeah. We missed you.
And there's nothing going on. I mean, it's so boring. It's March. You know, there's no tournaments. There's no hockey. There's no football. I mean,
you came back
great.
At the worst time.
Yeah. This is great. Let's get going.
I knew that it was just killing you flying home the Monday after Sunday.
Oh, that I hated to miss that show. But I spared the listeners my frustration with the committee, so, you know, I'll have to move on. I put it out on Twitter. I feel at peace now.
It's okay if you don't move on.
I really haven't moved on.
It's okay.
It's still fire inside me.
Time heals all. Yeah. But this is a tweet coming out from David Long. Now, remember, David Long was just signed to Miami, 2-year, $11 million deal. David Long tweeted, "You would have thought I've torn my ACL the way that they're treating me." Crying emoji. Wild. What do we make of that?
Just like what we have been talking about. You know, this is a guy, and I'm sure he's looking at it like, man, I did everything that y'all have asked me to do as a player. You know, I've gotten better each and every year. It's proven. It's shown. The stats match what I'm saying. I've gotten better each and every year, and y'all act as if I've torn 2 or 3 ACLs, you know, 2 or 3 years in a row, like I've always been hurt, like I've never been available, so that's why y'all didn't want to sign me. I'm sure he's a little bit upset, because he probably wanted to re-sign with the Titans. He probably wanted to retire a Tennessee Titan, but they chose to not, you know, re-sign him or even possibly offer him a contract. So I can understand the slight frustration of David Long Jr. I get it, you know, because he's right. He hasn't torn an ACL. It wasn't a major injury. And when he was playing, he was one of your best defensive players.
But I think they're going to miss him.
Oh,
I really
course.
Do. Now, here's the thing, as a player, that I would think, whether you get injured or not, you feel, especially when you play well, you feel like you've still given everything. I definitely think people will remember they singled out, Mike Vrabel singled out there, David Long Jr., soft tissue, repeat offender, right?
Yeah.
He was one of the repeat offenders.
Which
I
is true.
Guarantee, it's a fact, right? You can't get around it. That had to factor in to this strategy, because if it weren't for that, I thought he was one of those heart and soul guys a big, big part of why the defense was effective. He was a huge part of that. So I think when you know that, there's got to be that frustration. I mean, you go back.
Yeah.
Derek, you've said it so many times. I'll never forget the roast for Floyd Reese, right? Because you were roasting Floyd, and it was all in good fun. But I could tell you still have that space in your heart, like, they let me go.
Yeah.
You know, and it sticks with you. It's just a natural thing that any competitor have. And I'm sure that David Long feels that way, right? He gave everything to the team.
Absolutely. And here's the hypocrisy of it all. Because I totally forgot what you mentioned, Caroline, and Willie, you did mention it too, about Vrabel calling out David Long Jr. and this guy. The hypocrisy, how dare you? Don't you always scream team, team, team? We're in this together. No singling out one person or one individual or one unit. But you just singled out not just any of, he's one of your best players. And you single him out and listen, you are probably frustrated, but you know who's more frustrated than you? David Long Jr.
Exactly.
He's more frustrated. You can't be more frustrated than him because he wants to be on the field. But you single him out. That's the hypocrisy of it. If they single you out for not being for getting out coached in a particular game, everybody's in an uproar. Everybody's screaming. He's not a team player. He's calling out the head coach. But the head coach calls him out. How much of a team guy can you be? I get the frustration from Vrabel. I do. But you know, again, you know who's more frustrated?
David
Long Jr. Because he can't be on the field, and he wants to be on the field.
And I totally see that side of it, especially the hypocrisy of – and, Willie, to that point, that's something that Derek and I were discussing earlier. The reasons why you would let go of David Long, one, he's too expensive. Well, he just signed a 2-year deal worth $11 million with Miami. That's absolutely doable for the Titans. So it's not that he wasn't too expensive. It's not that he wasn't a good player. Really, the only thing I can point to is the injury.
Yeah.
So I understand that side of it of, oh, you're going to let me go because I wasn't consistently available. And then the first free agency move that you make is signing an offensive tackle that missed the entirety of the 2020 season. And I know that we're now going to be 3 years removed from that. I understand that. But it's just the idea of it and the optics of it. It's not consistent. But to David Long's point, he says, oh, by the way they're treating me, you think that I tore my ACL. Honestly, like, I don't really care what the injury is. Mm-hmm. And if I'm Mike Vrabel, I don't care if you tore your ACL. I don't care if you broke your leg. I don't care if it's a off and on, soft tissue injury that has been nagging you all season long, a la David Long Jr. Availability is availability no matter what you're dealing with. So if you cannot consistently be available for this football team, which David Long Jr. was not, but Dupree was not, Taylor Lewan was not, then I cannot re-sign you. I can't continue to pay you more money. So I understand David Long Jr.'s frustration. I absolutely do. I understand how he might feel like it's a little bit of a hypocritical message from the Tennessee Titans. I totally understand that. But from the Titans' point of view, what do we all think is kind of the number one reason why the Titans had an ultimate crash and burn in their season last year?
Well, remember the
injuries.
Fire. Remember, yes, and that's the context, I think, of the comment by Vrabel, right? And you're right. If you're David Long and you're seeing it through his eyes, all you hear is, he's coming at me. Mm-hmm. He's singling me out. Why is he doing that? But the firestorm from Mike Vrabel is he's getting pounded with questions every – why are all these guys getting hurt? Is it the staff? Is it your strength and conditioning? Is it your trainers? Why are all these guys getting hurt? And Mike Vrabel is probably his head spinning too. It's like, well, I don't know. Why me? There's got to be a little bit of that. Like, why is our team getting derailed? We have a pretty good team. And we're crashing because we can't keep the guys on the field. So he's trying to come up with answers. And one of the answers was, well, we got to try to control what we can control. And that is if we can be better at not having the soft tissue injuries. That's where all that was coming from, right? And that's where David Long was. He probably should have done it without singling out any individual player.
It could have been because I'm not going to sit here and say this and because if I'm to think that, Vrabel just said that and he just said it because he was frustrated, then I am to think that Vrabel don't know what he's talking about and he's not a really good head coach. I think he's a really good head coach. He's strategic in what he says.
Yes.
He understands and knows every time he opens his mouth and what he says. He doesn't just say anything and it just splurs out like diarrhea of the mouth. No. Vrabel is very calculated.
Sometimes I wish he had a little more.
Exactly,
of that.
Yeah. But Vrabel is calculated at what he says and who he's targeting. And I'm sure that those guys on the team know that. And when David Long Jr. heard that, he's like, why are you – like, come on. Like, you know, of all people, I want to be out there. I'm going to fight to be out there. So, in your frustration, you single me out of all people? That's like singling – and he has did the same thing with Derrick Henry. So, I'm not saying that, you know, everybody's not immune to, you know, Vrabel's criticizing
right.
at times. But you gotta understand and know that the guy that you may feel bad as a head coach because of the soft tissue injuries, but the guy that feels worse than you is the guy that it's actually happening to because he wants to be out there just as much as you want him out there.
Absolutely. And I don't doubt that for a second. But from Vrabel's perspective, yeah. he's got to look at it like, hey, this is a business.
He ain't call out Jeffrey Simmons.
He did not call out Jeffrey Simmons. He did not.
He didn't call out Derrick Henry when he messed up his foot, did he?
Nope.
But I think that was a difference, though, because Vrabel was calling out kind of the nagging soft tissue mm-hmm. injuries. And I don't know if it was more so a point the finger at David Long Jr.
Uh-huh.
Or if it was like a, here's an example of what we're going through, like good players that aren't available to us because of
but
these nagging
remember
things.
What he said. Kevin Byard's not getting injured. So it was a point the finger at that guy. Yeah.
Maybe it is. But Jeffrey Simmons, like it was a high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
One of those just weird things that you can't avoid. Yeah. Same thing with Derrick Henry. Broke his foot. Yeah. You know, like those aren't the nagging things.
Well, tough. I mean, if you pull your hamstring, that's something that if you've been stretching and doing all the things that you're supposed to do, and you pull a hamstring, I mean, you pull a hamstring. And
he called out Julio for it.
Yeah, he called out Julio for it. But, again, Julio was hurt when they brought him in here.
Yeah, that was their
It's like, you know, if you don't call out Julio, you shouldn't have brought him in because he was hurt when you brought him in.
But Robbie made a very good point this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. Uh-huh. If I'm Christian Fulton, I'm getting really nervous about some of the trends of some of the players that aren't being retained.
Christian Fulton has
the same kind of thing happen to him. He's on, he's off, he's on, he's off. Soft tissue injury, hamstring problems.
If I'm Harold Landry, I'm taking my time coming back. Because if you rush back for them to get back on the field and then you continue to get hurt or continue to deal with these little nagging things to overcompensate for your knee, then you're going to end up being like Bud Dupree. You're going to end up being like David Long Jr. And what I mean by that, in another year or two, you're going to be out the door.
Sure, I hope not. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the free agency frenzy in just the last 24 hours of the legal tampering period. Wild. Caroline Ville-Dimes, 1025-1063 The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.